Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
It's time for Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale 81, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Bring Ale 8 to your next tailgate. Its unique ginger citrus flavor pairs great with everything from bourbon to BBQ. Pick up a six-pack of original, zero, or cherry Ale 8 today. Now, emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and airing throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV Network, here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Where's our music? We don't get music?
No, see, here's what happened. Close that door, by the way. I thought that this liner, because most of the liners have beds, so I'm just going to...
Include the music?
Yeah, exactly. So I'd like to... Let's hit the music again. Here we go.
That's not really the music we use for Fast Break Friday. You're screwing everybody up.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't appreciate Nick. He's sandbagging me, man. Oh, I got a podcast.
Yeah, he did just walk in and walk out. Yeah. What was that all about?
I don't know. He's sandbagging me, and I don't care for it. I know your son's in his 30s, but at this point, I'm going to need you to discipline his ass because I am not thrilled about this.
All right. Well, because the people listening in Lexington, because they're looking forward, hey, it's Fast Break Friday. First of all, they're pissed enough because Mike Pratt's not here because he has things to take. He's got a doctor's appointment. Let's tell him like it is. Why are we, beating around the bush? So, so he's not here. So they're already mad enough. And then they usually, all right, well, you get the open. The guy comes in and says, Fast Break Friday. That's Nick who did that open. And then the music plays. I think it's, I don't know, it might be the old NBA theme from John Tesh. I'm not sure.
So.
You got to ask him what the music is. So that could be.
Yeah, no, I'm not thrilled. The opening of that was awful.
Do an actress named Issa from Awkward Black Girl? Her last name is three letters. Issa what? Do you know? I'm finishing up this crossword. I only have a few words left, and that's one of them I don't know. Issa, ISSA of Awkward Black Girl. Somebody's going to text you the answer. I think that's IRS. I don't know. I don't know her name. I do not know her name. Isn't that terrible? I should know that. She's probably a very famous actress. I'm not happy about that.
Sorry, I'm being distracted behind me.
Oh, well. I'm what?
I said, sorry, I'm being distracted. How you doing on the... I'm being distracted. How's the... What's it called going? How's the crossword going?
Well, that's what I just asked you. What's the last name of Issa? ISSA. Issa of Awkward Black Girl.
I have no idea.
So you don't... Saying I would have thought that was a generational thing.
No, I have no idea what that means.
I'm battling through it. I've only got a few letters left. I'll get it done during the next commercial break. I think I'm in good shape. Party... What the heck could that be? Party chair? Is her name Ray? R-A-E? Is that right? Look that up. Issa Ray? Could that be it? I don't know. It is Issa Ray?
No, I'm just saying hi. What are we doing? The process said that you're doing a crossword puzzle on the air again.
Yeah. I'm trying to... Who is this actress? 58 down. Issa of Awkward Black Girl. Issa Ray? Is her name Issa Ray?
That name sounds familiar.
You don't
familiar.
Know either? I would have thought that was a young person's answer. It is Issa Ray. I got it. I don't even know who the hell she is. Issa Ray. American actress, writer, and producer. She did her work for the YouTube web series Awkward Black Girl. Look at me busting it out. I don't even know who she is.
You. The Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl.
Yeah. All right. So, we got a big weekend coming up here. This is a very, very big football weekend for the two locals because they are games that they both could win. And they're also games that, if they do win, has huge implications for what kind of season they are going to be perceived to have had when you look back. In other words, if you look back at Louisville's season, there's been frustration and they've lost some close games. But even though this isn't your father's Clemson team, if they are able to beat Clemson for the first time ever, and that would give them a really good chance to be bowl eligible. I mean, they would have, that would be, what, their fifth win? And then they'd have to win only one of their next two. two to get to the bowl eligible, and they're both games that they could win. Again, these are games they could lose too, but Duke is not very good, and then Syracuse at home, and then, of course, they finish up with Kentucky. So they would put themselves in a good position going down the stretch and have a brand-name win. I mean, Satterfield said it himself. That was his exact quote. You know, no matter, this won't mean much to you guys, but, I mean, to me, it meant everything. When I took the job in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference, the late John Chaney, who wound up having some great success at Temple, was, you know, ironically or coincidentally, I guess is more the word, was actually the head coach at Cheney State, which was the powerhouse of the college division. And then when they went to Division II, I mean, they were magnificent. They were in our league. And he took the Temple job the year before I got into the league. So his assistant took over, and they were still good, but they weren't John Chaney, but they were still good. And everybody in, you know, basketball, this is before the real impact of the internet. So you were going by, you picked up your newspaper on Sunday and you look at the score and you went, oh my God, look at that. You know, so-and-so beat so-and-so. And we beat them twice my second year there. And it was, oh my God. I mean, it was, you know, I was getting notes and comments from people all over the place because it was Chaney State. I mean, no, they wound up not being remote as good down the road as they were with John. They were still good, though. But, you know, and that's the same thing. Is this Clemson team the same as Dabo's last few teams? Of course it's not. We know that. But the fact of the matter is, it's still Clemson. And if you get a win against them, it's definitely going to make people, when they pick up the newspaper, go, that's a good win. And especially given the arc of the season, you know, you can get mad. I understand it. They had opportunities to win games earlier, and they've had some opportunities to step up, and they haven't gotten it done. But you look for your team to get better, and if they can close a game out in the fourth quarter against Clemson, who's played almost nothing but close games all year. I mean, they haven't played. They haven't really blown anybody out. I mean, so they've been, you know, unless Louisville really lays an egg, you would think they'll be in the game late one way or another. And so if they are, then late they got to make plays and they can win the football game. And if they do, I think it'll go a long way towards how you perceive this season, and especially if it in all likelihood gets them into a bowl game. And then you've got yourself something that, you know, you can hang your hat on and say, well, it certainly wasn't. We had our opportunities to be even better than we were, but still, you know, a good bounce back year. Kentucky, I mean, there was so much excitement with good reason for that tremendous start. And then they went on the road to a game that you knew was going to be tough, but they, you know, they wound up same thing. They didn't wound up being a game that got away from them against Mississippi State, and now they take on their old nemesis, Tennessee, and it's a game that, you know, does not play, in my humble opinion, into Kentucky's hands because, I mean, Tennessee's going to score points. That we know they're going to do. And so, you know, you look at that and you say, well, are they going to be, is Kentucky going to be in position where they can offensively stay with them, or are they going to be able to slow them down enough to, you know, to put themselves in position where they can score enough points to win the game? I don't know. I'm not saying they aren't, but I just, you know, I don't. It's tough when you bring a team in that's got one of the best quarterbacks you'll have played all year. And we're going to talk with a little bit later in the show. We're going to visit with the play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Vols, Bob Kessling. So we'll have him preview that game for us and get a look into what he has to say about it. I mean, they come into the game, they're just 4-4, so I know they're not tearing it up, but boy, they have been, you know, able to score some points, and so it's going to be an interesting matchup. I also am intrigued by the fact that I think this is right, and again, I haven't bet on it, so I don't know, but didn't Kentucky open the betting in this as a favorite? I thought they did, and I thought
it was very slight. I think they were a 1-point favorite. It was basically a pick.
No, I don't think that's right. Here's an article. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. I just found it. It's earlier in this week, Kentucky opened as a 4-point home favorite over Tennessee on multiple sports books. They opened as a 2.5-point favorite at Sports Illustrated Sportsbook. But now, according to the SI Sportsbook, the Vols are a 1-point favorite on the road against the Wildcats, with numerous other sports books significantly significantly lowering the line to a pick'em. The Vols have only lost to Kentucky and Lexington three times since 1980, and the Wildcats are coming off a brutal road loss to Mississippi State, while Tennessee is coming in fresh off a bye week. So we'll see. The matchup on Saturday will feature Tennessee's impressive rushing attack against Kentucky's very good defensive front. So that's what it says. We'll see. Tennessee and their opponents have gone, here we go, some betting trends, want some? Tennessee and their opponents have gone over the current 56.5-point total in five of their eight games, 62%. Kentucky's games have gone over 56.5 points in just two games this season. Saturday's total is 7.9 points lower than the two teams' combined 64.4 points per game average. So if each team plays to their average offensively, you'll get an over. The contest's over-under is 9.2 points more than the 47. There's nothing worse than doing math on the radio, so let me just see if I can sum this up. The over-under for this game, if the two squads is combined to surrender, is the over-under is 9 points more than these squads combined to surrender. So, I mean, you get that's what I mean. Those are the stats that contradict each other. So the total, the over-under, is lower than the two teams' average offenses combined, but it's almost 10 points higher than the two teams' average defenses combined. So what are you going to do with those two stats? They negate. I love people who do. Somebody would write this and say, see, I told you, because they're covered each way. It's, sorry, Locke, love you. It's the Lachlan McLean analysis. either way it plays out, you get to say, I told you so, I told you that they're the contest is almost 10 points, the over-under is 10 points too high if you go by their defenses, but it's 8 points too low if you go by their offenses. So there you go. Take that and wrap fish in it, because you're not going to be able to do anything useful with that. The average total in Volunteers games this season is 63.2, which is almost 7 points above Saturday's total of 56.5. But here we go again. But this year, the games involving the Wildcats have been 50.8, which is 6 points lower than the games over-under. It's like the guy who wrote this did this on purpose. He gave you absolutely no useful information. He gave you absolutely contradictory stats on every single statistical asset of the game, aspect of the game. Let's see if there's any others here. Anything else that Tennessee stats and trends? Tennessee's 3-5 against the spread. They've covered the spread twice this season by favored by 1 point or more, and they're favored by one on some of the betting lines. I'll take a look at what ESPN's got right now. Tennessee games this year have hit the over 5 of 8 times. When Tennessee scores more than 20.8 points, it's 3-4 against the spread and 4-3 overall. That's not much of a strong trend. The Volunteers average 457 yards a game. Whew, that's a lot of offense. 121 more than the Wildcats give up per game. Okay, so something's got to give there, although that's a huge-ass number. My goodness. Let's go see what Kentucky's trends are. They have Kentucky's 6-2 against the spread. That's pretty nice. That's because people still don't believe in Kentucky, so you can usually get them at a decent price because they're not a football brand name, so people, you know, who don't follow it, the people that the I don't know what they call them. Not the whales, the people. It's not suckers, but they're the people that, you know, really keep the books in business. They are not, they don't have the huge amounts of money, and they can't afford to you know, be working and fighting for every half point like the whales do. The whales, there's so many great books, which I've read a couple of them, because they're fascinating. Not that I would want to get into that world, but my goodness, the guys who are the whales that they allude to, that bet the, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars spread out over so many different casinos, and will look all over the country to find a half a point more or a half a point less in a point spread. These are not the people we're talking about. We're talking about the Joe Jablonski who lives in Podunk and just wants to go, you know, spend $25, and so he has some rooting interest in the games, and he doesn't think Kentucky's a football school, so he doesn't bet. They're over bet in basketball and under bet in football. They're not the only school like that by any stretch of the imagination. But I would venture to say that that's one of the reasons they're 6-2 against the spread this year, because they still haven't gotten that national, you know, Joe Jablonski guy who doesn't really follow it that much, that still hasn't given them the respect that this team probably deserves. Kentucky's games this season have gone over the total exactly half the time, so there's no trend there at all. The teams are almost even in terms of their average points per game scoring. No, and I take that back. Let me rewind the tape. It's the Kentucky puts up just about a half a point per game more than Tennessee gives up. Kentucky scores 27 points a game. Tennessee gives up 26.5. So, again, there's nothing here that jumps out at you and says, whoa, look at that. Other than maybe the fact Kentucky's 6-2 against the spread. That's pretty good. 75% for any kind of a betting line is pretty strong. When Kentucky records more than 26.5 points, it's 3-1 against the spread and 4-0 overall. So I would ask myself that. But again, this may not be a good game for that to be a useful stat, because they haven't played very many teams that have put up the offensive numbers that Tennessee's put up. So that may not be enough. So let's see. When Kentucky picks up more than 393 yards, the team's 3-0 against the spread and 3-0 overall. This season, the Wildcats have turned the ball over 50. That may be a useful stat in terms of what you're looking for in the game, in my humble opinion. This season, the Wildcats have turned the ball over 15 times, which is 5 more than the Volunteers' takeaways. The Volunteers have taken the ball away 10 times. Kentucky's got to take care of the football. They've had some games where they've been sloppy with that, and I think this is going to be a difficult game to win, overcome a lot of turnovers. That's true for a lot of games, but especially against a team that can move the football like this Tennessee team. So we'll see. We'll get to the picks later in the show. Mike Pratt's not here, as we just said, but he was kind enough to send me his picks for the games. So we'll get his picks in the second hour of the local show, in the second hour, the last hour of the show, network show. Last week he didn't do it, so we had the listener's pick, and it was one of those good news, bad news for you guys. You helped him in the sense that you scored one more point than I did, but neither of us did bathe ourselves in glory. After having 2 weeks, I was 5-0 and 4-1. Last week I only got one game correct. One point for me, but you guys only got two for Mike, so didn't make up much ground. So I'm currently ahead 22-15. So, as long as I keep having the lead, I'll keep mentioning the score. No, I'm not kidding. I mentioned score anyway. But he's got his picks in for this week. So we'll see how he does in the second hour. And I'll make my picks and see where we go from there. But these are two great opportunities. It's a little different in the sense that they're both, I always call them opportunity games. They're games where, you know, you're not a decided favorite, where if you lose, you know, you've fallen on your face and people go, what the hell's the matter with you? But they're great opportunity games that, as I said, if you win, you know, some wins come across as worth a little bit more than just one win, if that makes any sense to you. You know, they just have a little bit more cachet to them than just saying, well, they happened to win the other day. I mean, and these are games that are like that for these two teams. Kentucky, because they haven't had much success against Tennessee, and Louisville, because they've never had any success against Clemson. But also because the way these games fall in the schedule, they have big, big ramifications for how you're ultimately going to assess the season. I mean, Kentucky's having a good season regardless, but they were, you know, they were on the cusp of having one of the great seasons in their history, and they still could. I mean, if they go through the season with only one loss, I mean, that's going to be one of the best of all time. And if you can get to 10 wins, that's still a pretty good yardstick for anybody to say you've had an extraordinary season. So that's still what they're playing for. In this game, you know, for them to get to 11 wins, they can't lose again, obviously. And for them to get to 10, they can only lose one more game. And so this would certainly be give them a whole hell of a lot better chance to get to that number. And although, you know, the next two games after this, they certainly have great opportunities. And then they wrap up with Louisville. So they've got, I mean, they win this, they're staring at putting one of those extraordinary seasons on the board. And Louisville, as I said, for all the the gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands early. I mean, if they get to this, they're staring, a first-time ever win over Clemson and getting to a bowl game at the end, and they've got some winnable games down the stretch. And so they obviously have a chance to really change the arc of their season a bit. So we'll see. And now the opposite is also true. I mean, if they lose close, again, Louisville, the problem with Louisville for them in that regard is the people throw their hands up and say, here we go again. We've been in this movie so many times already this year. They just get close and they can't close things out. And that's going to be the lament of people. It's different than if you've been winning and then all of a sudden you just, you won a bunch of close games and then you let one get away and you kind of, shake your head and say, damn, we almost did it again. But now they're staring at close games that they've had opportunities to win, arguably should have won at least a couple of them, or one of them at the very least. And now they're staring at this game where they're playing a team that's played all close games, basically. I mean, they last week, I guess, is their biggest margin, and that was only because there were a couple of late touchdowns against Florida State. So, I mean, by and large, everybody has had a chance against this Clemson team, including they've lost some games. So, that's the only downside, is if they lose a close one. In other years, they had such a chance when Clemson was going to the national championship and going to the playoffs, and Louisville had a chance to beat them. You go, man, we were right there with them. But this one, I mean, they're beatable, and it's a little. It doesn't mean they're bad, but they're beatable. And so, if you lose a close one again, people's frustration will probably only mount, unfortunately. So they, and worse yet, if they wind up getting beaten soundly, that's going to be even worse because they haven't been beating anybody soundly. So in that regard, it's not like it's an either or. It's either going to be an opportunity game where something really good comes out of it, or you just shrug it off and say, well, it's Clemson, and you go forward. There's some real damage that can come, and Kentucky's kind of in the same boat. Last week was not a good game for them. They were having a magical season. Coach Stoops didn't run away from it. His presser sounded very, very disgusted with a lot of things, and now this is a team that's been one of those barometers for Kentucky over the years, in the sense that they have had a hard time with this team, and they're only 4-4 right now, and so Kentucky has to come into this game and say, well, things are different. This is a chance for them to prove it. So yeah, they could, it could be more than just, oh, now they've got to pretty much run the table then after this point to get a 10-win season. It's also the perception of, are things really different? And most people think, yeah, it's a different atmosphere around the football program in Lexington. Well, here's an opportunity to prove it.
How do they, what's the mindset of a team? I mean, they lose to Georgia, but no one was really expecting them. But now, they fell to, and pretty badly, to Mississippi State coming off that loss. So, I mean, I feel like, after the Georgia one, it's not saying it wasn't a big deal, but that was an opportunity game.
Yes, that's an opportunity game.
The Mississippi State loss, though, not so much.
Yeah, well, that's why I said that's the problem. I mean, and then, you talk about that 10-win barometer. If they lose this, they'd have to win out and win a bowl game, right? I mean, then they could still get to 10.
Right.
So, that puts a lot of pressure on that. But the people are looking at a 10-win regular season, if they and they still are looking at that. If they win this, they could go to a bowl game with 10 wins, and the kind of bowl game you go to is still on the line. I mean, there's all those things at work. There's no question about that. But you're right. That's why I said it's not simply the opportunity game. Georgia was kind of an opportunity game unless they got absolutely embarrassed, and they didn't. So they walked away, and as you said, it was Georgia. They arguably could win the national championship. Oh well, and you try and go on from there. But this game for Louisville and Kentucky, if they get beat soundly, you're going to have some really disgruntled people, because Clemson hasn't been beating anybody soundly, and you're playing them at home, and you hit it on the head with Kentucky. I mean, they've got a 4-4 Tennessee team, and they're playing at home. They just came off a bad performance last week. If they're looking at what was possibly a really extraordinary season, they put themselves in a situation they'd have to win out, including the bowl game, to get to 10 wins. I mean, there's a good chance they were going to get a 10-win regular season. So, there's a lot on the line here. here that, you know, you don't want to look at the negative. You want to look at the positive. On the positive side, it's pretty obvious. I mean, if they win this, they should win their next two games. That means they would go into the Louisville game, what, with 9 wins, right? They'd be 9-2 going into the Louisville game. And if Louisville wins this and then just splits their next two, you know, they're bowl eligible. They'd be 6-5 going into the Kentucky game, be bowl eligible. And after, with a win over Clemson, there's some places to hang your hat. And so, that's why at this stage in the season, I do admit that if you look at it that way, then college football, there are some compelling storylines here because, yes, one game really does change a lot of perceptions. The problem with me is my gripe with college football is that too much of what really goes on is based just on perception. You don't get a chance to just win your way in. You lose your way out or you play yourself backwards. And, I mean, you know, the disgust that from most of the corners of the country that have come down about the college football playoff rankings are pretty much underscoring that. So I usually try not to talk too much about perception and just deal with facts. Okay, here's what's on the line here. Kentucky trying to get to a 10-win season. If they win this, they could still do it in the regular season, blah, blah, blah. Louisville makes themselves probably going to be bowl eligible unless they fall on their face. But you can't help it. They're, you know, it is the framework of college football is perception. And this game will go a long way towards how you perceive the two seasons for these two teams. That's just the reality of it. So, you know, you don't have a conference tournament or you don't have a postseason playoff to kind of change that. That's what, you know, happened. Basketball, any sport has this. You lose a game late in the season or later in the season. People want to discuss what does it really mean? How good are we? But you still have a chance to go prove it. Here, you don't. I mean, it's all about perception. So, yeah, I mean, so you can't help but talk about that a little bit anyway. I think I'm supposed to tell you about some things, and it's my pleasure to do so because it's a Friday, and that's a cool thing because Friday is the day that we get Bear Nose Pizza, don't we? I think we do. Bear Nose Lunch Drop to ESPN Louisville, and they got a toy drive going on. Is that correct? I believe that's right. Is that still happening? I think it is.
Pizza Day!
George and the Bear Nose team, first of all, thanks for dropping off pizza. If you're thinking lunch or dinner, Bear Nose has you covered tonight and this weekend for all games. Now Bear Nose delivering alcohol, carry out and delivery to your home. Support local. Yeah, it's that good, Bear Nose Pizza. But also, very cool, Bear Nose partnering up with St. Jude Hospital Target House, Childhood Cancer Family Fund's Santa Claus Toy Drive. It's a month-long new toy collection for the pediatric cancer patients living at St. Jude's Hospital Target House, long-term family housing facility. The toy collection is sponsored by Bear Nose Pizza and Hessig and Pohl. And what it is from now till November 30th, all 14 Metro Louisville Bear Nose locations will serve as collection points for donations of new Christmas gifts suitable for children ages newborn to age 19. The gifts will be part of a free Christmas shop at Target House where parents can shop for free for their children. Toys can also be dropped off at Evergreen Liquor in Middletown and the law office of Hessig and Pohl goes on from now till November 30th at any of those 14 Louisville, Metro Louisville Bear Nose locations or the other places that I mentioned. And if I was going too fast for you, all you got to do is go to Santa Claus, C-A-U-S-E, SantaCause.info, and you can find out more about the program and where the drop-off locations are located. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back and Bob Kessling will join us. So he's been a good friend to have join on the show. And we'll take a look at the Kentucky and Tennessee game coming up. So stay with us here on ESPN 680-1057.
It's football season in the Bluegrass, and no tailgate is complete without L81. Nothing pairs better with barbecue, wings, and other game day favorites than the unique ginger and citrus flavors of L8. If you're looking for an adult beverage at your tailgate, L8 is the ultimate bourbon mixer. Pick up a six-pack of original L8, Cherry L8, or L8 Zero Sugar at your local Kroger, Walmart, Meijer, or Value Market. L81, Kentucky proud and family-owned since 1926.
Light up the holidays with a personalized gift from Shane Company.
A diamond-accented charm necklace with her baby's initial, because she's a new mom.
A beautiful 14-karat gold necklace personalized with her birthstone, because the world is better with her in it.
A breathtaking ruby and diamond ring engraved with the date you met.
because it was meant to be.
Shane Company will help you create a gift that shows how much you care. With so many unique styles to choose from and the most beautiful diamonds and gemstones, you can create a meaningful gift. We have the highest standards for quality and craftsmanship. Whether you spend a couple $100s or many thousands, she'll know that you put your heart into her gift. Book a virtual or an in-store appointment with a non-commissioned jewelry consultant or just drop by the store. Check our website for hours. Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Hi, this is Mike Pratt. Healthy people live with high standards, which is why I take Evercure CBD. Evercure products are only made from the sweetest flowers of premium CBD hemp grown in Kentucky. When you taste this full spectrum distilled CBD oil, you will realize why Evercure CBD is Kentucky fine bluegrass made. It is truly a local treasure. It works. Purchase your Evercure at EvercureCBD.com. Enter Mike P at checkout to receive 10% off your purchase.
Keep playing. Keep working. Keep going. And keep moving. With the unmatched orthopedic care at Baptist Health, with a best-in-class team and procedures you won't find anywhere else in the region, it's no wonder most people choose Baptist to help them keep on keeping on. Visit BaptistHealth.com/ortho to find a Baptist Health provider.
This is Bob Valvano. As some of you know, I have stage 4 leukemia. Thanks to two new medications that are both less than 5 years old, my progress has been good and my prognosis is strong. Those medications only came about because of research funded from people like you. My late brother Jim said, "I need your help. It may not save my life, but it may save someone you love." This research is doing just that. We created Kentuckiana Friends of V, a local 501c3 organization that works in close cooperation with the V Foundation to fund research and preventive initiatives locally, right here in the Kentuckiana area. Won't you consider helping us in that quest? Sign up for an event, volunteer, or just make a donation at kfov.org. You really do help save lives like mine. That's kfov.org.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
At Pepsi, we know now more than ever we play a vital role in supporting our communities, and we're looking for top talent to join our team in Louisville, Kentucky. Our competitive benefits and employee perks and discounts start day one of hire. As a CDL driver for Pepsi, we guarantee your home every night. If you're currently out of work, out of school, or looking to launch your career with the best in the beverage business, look no further than PepsiCo. We're hiring CDL Class A drivers, warehouse team members, and store merchandisers. Apply today at PepsiFrontlineCareers.com. That's PepsiFrontlineCareers.com.
My name is John Veronese, owner of Veronese, Riverhouse, and Levy Restaurants. I've been part of Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2007. CB&T showed me how to use what was already in my business to help me grow my business. The people at CB&T support me and so many other local businesses. They're friendly, fast, and fair. I'm a little bit of a risk taker, but they stand behind me like family. When it comes to my business, having CB&T as a partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet? Continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by L81. Pick up a sixer of L8 for your next tailgate at Kroger, Meijer, Walmart, or Value Market. Now here's Bob and Mike.
And on February the 15th, 1982, this song was voted by the General Assembly of Tennessee as one of their official state songs, and we were very fortunate to be the first group to have the first record on this. And since then, it's been recorded over 100 times. And we look back on dear old Rocky Top.
Wow. I guess if you're a Tennessee fan, you can't get enough of that. And if you're not a Tennessee fan, you don't really want to hear it.
It's kind of like the Notre Dame fight song. When you go play at Notre Dame, you can't help but walk out of there. It's an earworm because they played after everything, the opening kickoff, extra points, every made layup and warm-ups, anything. They play the hell out of it. So I assume that would mean our next guest would find that song a very warm spot in his heart. Come on, honestly, Bob Kessling, are you sick of it or not? Can you just listen to it all day?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, the Osborne Brothers never get enough of that. Yeah, you're right. It is played a lot. You know, the thing that's interesting about it, you know, a lot of times they'll have these contests, you know, which team has the best fight song and all those type things. Well, Rocky Top never wins because Rocky Top is not Tennessee's fight song. It's down the field. But that's the unofficial fight song right there. So, you're hoping that it's played a lot. But you never get, and especially the Osborne Brothers. You don't get sick of the Osborne Brothers.
See, that's pretty cool. You see, we got to learn good fact there now. We didn't learn. That's not really their fight song.
Yeah.
So,
I've got another fact for you, too, Bob.
Well, I like those.
Of course, we're, you know, Robert and Bob are kind of a dying breed anymore, but people don't name their kids Bob anymore.
That's true.
Did you know that there was not a single Major League Baseball player that has the name Bob?
This past season? This past year?
For the last 5 or 6 years, there's been no Bob in Major League Baseball. There have been a couple Robs, but there has been no Bob in Major League Baseball, I think, for 5 or 6 years now.
That's a bit disheartening. Think of how many good Bobs there were when we were young. Bob Watson, Aspromonte, Bob Feller, I mean, there's a million Bobs, and now there's none?
None.
Man.
So we need to get people to start naming their kids, you know, Robert and Bob. Get it back in the flow of things. But
that's just the way it is. So put a ball in there.
Two useless facts that you got.
No, that's a good
from me today. So.
That's a really good one, and a bit disheartening, but nonetheless.
Yeah, it is.
Pick myself up, take a breath, and move on.
Well, and I would venture to say there's probably not a Bob in the NBA. That's probably a really safe bet, wouldn't you think?
I don't know about that. Let's go. I may have to go look that. That's true, though. When, you know, because there was a time, it's about 20 years ago, when it was the most common first name. That's probably why everybody stopped. It had overtaken John. It went all the way to number one, and we were number one.
Yeah. Now, we were riding high then, but not now.
People have just run away. And
that's right.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, you and I will just have to suck it up and march on and talk about
we'll
this game, which is actually a fascinating game in a lot of ways because, I mean, Kentucky had been off to such a great start. They've now lost a couple in a row, and they've had very, very little success against Tennessee. Tennessee comes in with a somewhat modest 4-4 record, but with an offense that puts gaudy numbers up there. So, there's a whole bunch of ways when you look at that element of this, you can say, well, Tennessee's offense is so good, you know, you're going to have to do something to disrupt them and maybe get them some turnovers, but Kentucky doesn't force very many turnovers. And can Kentucky's offense put enough points up on the board, or can they slow them down? What do you think of the key parts of this game when you look at it as an overall picture?
Well, I think if you would have told people before the season that Tennessee was heading into November with a record of 4-4 with a chance to go to a bowl game and have a winning record, they would have been more than ecstatic. And I don't know if I've ever seen a fan base that is more pleased with a 4-4 record than this year's Tennessee team because of the fact that where they were a year ago. And, you know, Bob, you remember the Kentucky win down here last year. Uh-huh. I mean, that was just demoralizing for Tennessee fans. Just there was no fight in the Tennessee team, and Kentucky was celebrating all over Neyland Stadium. And that just didn't sit very well. That's probably what really led to the downfall of the whole program. So now Josh Heupel had the task of rebuilding not only the roster, but he had to rebuild just the confidence of this football team. And he has come in, and I don't remember one single negative comment he has made about a player or about his team or the people in his in the program since he's been here. Now, he said some things like, we need to get better on the practice field and we need to do this better, but that's about as negative as he's ever gone. And I think the players are feeding off that. He came in selling that. You look at his track record as a play caller, they've always put up points. When he was in Missouri, wherever he's been, they have put up points and they put up lots of yards. And but he had nothing on tape to show prospects and the current players, you know, from a Tennessee standpoint. And he said, but we're going to do it. We're going to be an exciting offensive team, and we're going to put up points, and we're going to be tough to stop. And once they figured out the quarterback deal and they got Hendon Hooker in there, this offense has taken off. So I think what you hit on earlier, can Kentucky score enough points? They have not proven that they can win a track meet. And so if Tennessee comes out and scores 30 or 40 points in the game, which they could, can Kentucky keep up? And they haven't shown that they can. So we'll see how that plays out. So that puts a lot on the Kentucky defense. Can Kentucky's defense generate some turnovers? Hooker only has two interceptions all year. So it's not like he throws the ball around and puts it in harm's way. And as I think everybody knows, Kentucky's offense has been pretty much turnover prone all season. So we'll see how this plays out.
The one thing Kentucky has been able to do, and they've done it even against some decent teams, although they struggled a little bit in the games they've lost, and that is run the football. They can run the football well, and Tennessee's defense is not a place where they're going to hang their hat by any stretch. They've given up tons of yards offensively to Ole Miss and Alabama. Now, Alabama's obviously a very good team, and Ole Miss is very good too, but Kentucky's been able to run the football. The question is, will they be able to run the football enough to I guess, keep that Tennessee offense off the field? And so maybe it comes down to what you just said. They're not going to be able to do that if they're turning the ball over. So I hate to oversimplify the game, but maybe for Kentucky, that's what it comes down to. You assume they're going to be able to move it some. I mean, unless Tennessee's defense really does something, you know, that they haven't been doing of late, and that is really get some stops and a bunch of stops, Kentucky's going to move the ball. But if they turn it over, it's all going to be for naught. So they've got to take care of the football, and maybe from Kentucky's point of view, that's the single most important thing. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think that's the key to the game. I mean, Kentucky last week against Mississippi State really never had the ball. They only had 48 plays offensively. You're not going to win many games, put up many points with only 48 plays. And of those 48, what, they had four turnovers. So those just are numbers. They're just not – they don't prove to be winning. So they're going to have to put together some long drives and keep the ball away from them. You know, the Tennessee defensive staff, I think this Tennessee defense is better – than anybody thought it was going to be. Now, you're right that Alabama put up a lot of points and a lot of yards, but you got to remember, going into the fourth quarter, that game was 31-24. Mm-hmm. And so Tennessee was very much in that game, but Alabama dominated the game in the fourth quarter, and that when Hooker threw one of his interceptions, then Alabama was able to take that down and score as well. So they scored, put up a lot of yards in the fourth quarter. And kind of the same thing with Ole Miss. Ole Miss kind of wore out the Tennessee defense, but it was a game through three quarters. And then Tennessee kind of, you know, because of a lack of depth and just in that game against Ole Miss, I think Matthew Butler, Tennessee's defensive tackle, played 80 snaps. And Ole Miss ran 101 plays, and Butler was in there for 80 snaps. That's like, for most defensive linemen, that's two games. I mean, most of the time, your defensive tackles are playing 40 snaps a game, maybe. He played 80 snaps in that game. I've never heard of such a thing. So, but that just shows you that Tennessee doesn't have a lot of depth. And I think they have coached up their 11 starters and their couple of extras in the defensive line. But they have no depth at linebacker, and they've got maybe – I guess they're – let me look here. I guess about 8 or 9 defensive backs that now they're comfortable playing. But when the start of the season began, they had maybe 4 that were they were really solid on, and then a couple of other guys have come up. So they've really built this defense. You know, they lost 30-some players last year when the coaching change was made through the transfer portal and guys quitting or whatever, going on to the pros. That's a lot of players to replace on a roster. And they lost some good players. They had a bunch of guys transfer out. They're playing now at Oklahoma and some different places around the country. And so Josh Heupel really had to go out and plug holes in this roster. To show you where they were in the spring game, one of their long snappers was playing linebacker because that's all they had. So,
wow!
That tells you where they were.
You move a guy from guard to tackle or something, but you don't move a long snapper to linebacker.
That's right. Now he played, you know, of course he played linebacker in high school, but here he was strictly a long snapper, and he hadn't really played long snapper until midway in spring practice. I mean, linebacker until about midway in spring practice. But they had to put him over there just to make sure they had somebody that could play in the spring games. So that's kind of where they were defensively.
I don't want to put a bow tie on a pig, but sometimes these kinds of years can be the most fun. I mean, like if they get to a bowl game and they got a real chance to do it. I mean, like you said, people came into the year with kind of no expectations, and he's created a great atmosphere there. The people are excited. The players who he's got want to play for him. I've gone through some years like that, both broadcasting and coaching, and in some ways, at the end, they're kind of the most fun because everybody's on the same page, and you do have enough accomplishments where you can hang your hat at the end of the year, and you just change the whole culture of everything. That sounds like that's what's going on down there.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I mean, these guys are buying in that they are changing the culture here, and they're setting the foundation for the growth of Tennessee football. And that's what Heupel has been selling since he came. And they're buying in. Now, the other thing that Tennessee's done, he's got a really good staff. Now, he brought most of his guys on offense from Central Florida. But on defense, he went out and found SEC guys. And one of those is Rodney Garner, who coaches the defensive line, who's been around forever in this conference. And he's done a remarkable job. And he got Willie Martinez to coach the secondary. Now, Willie was with him at Central Florida, but he was also a guy that knew the SEC, and so he was a natural to be on this staff. So those two guys have come on and I think have just done a remarkable job of building this defense up. And then they brought in Tim Banks from Penn State, who was kind of out of the Heupel coaching tree, but he has also really done a great job with this defense. So I think you're right. I think this team is buying in to they've got something going here special now. And again, I mentioned it earlier, Bob, in our talk here. I don't know if I've ever seen a Tennessee fan base more giddy over a 4-4 season than this one is, because they knew where this team was coming from with everything that happened with when Jeremy Pruitt left and how toxic it was around here and just the investigations and all that kind of stuff. And another thing I think it's going to boost the Tennessee team tomorrow is when the fact that yesterday Tennessee's administration came out and said they're not going to accept a bowl ban this year. They're not going to self-impose one of those. So I think that's really lifted up the spirit. They didn't want to penalize this team for what they've done so far. And whatever the NCAA fines or whatever now the NCAA could come in, I guess, and still do it. But Tennessee's not going to self-impose a bowl ban. And I think they want this team to be able to celebrate their accomplishments and what they've done to kind of turn this thing around and get it, at least right now, headed in the right direction. Now, you've still got this Kentucky game, which it is not going to be an easy game. I mean, I think Kentucky, after what happened last week, they had their feelings hurt a little bit. So you've got to figure Kentucky is going to come out and play much better than it did last week at Mississippi State. And then Tennessee has Georgia next week. So, I mean, these are two big games coming up. And so they're not out of the woods, and they haven't secured a bowl bid yet. So they've still got some work to do. But at least this team is very confident going into this month of November.
A lot of the fans here will be familiar with him, but before I let you go, let's get a comment, if we can, on Hendon Hooker. Of course, he transferred from Virginia Tech, so a lot of people, Louisville fans might remember him from his time in the ACC. Good size kid. What, about 6'4", I guess? Is that right?
I think they list him at 6'3", yeah. But, yeah, he's good, long and lanky and lean. And, you know, the thing I like about him, he played against Kentucky in the Belk Bowl, too, also a couple of years ago. Kentucky fans have seen him. Kentucky won that game, but Hendon Hooker played pretty well. Here's the thing. They bring in Hooker. He came in before the Heupel crew got here. So he was recruited by Jeremy Pruitt. So they get in spring practice. They've got Hooker and they've got Harrison Bailey, the two quarterbacks. Well, apparently they weren't sure that either one of them was going to be able to do what they needed them to do. So they went out and got Joe Milton in the middle of spring practice from Michigan to transfer in. Milton is a 6'4", unbelievable-looking athlete with an arm. He can throw it 70 yards. He's one of the fastest guys on the team. He just looked like a thoroughbred out there. And he clearly won the job in fall practice. There was no doubt. Anybody saw scrimmages or saw him on the practice field, there was no doubt that he had won the job. But it didn't translate to the game field. He missed wide open receivers. Mm-hmm. He didn't make good decisions. And then he gets banged up in the Pittsburgh game, and that opens the door for Hendon Hooker. But the one thing Hendon Hooker did when he didn't win the starting job, you know, Bob, what do guys do now? They don't win the starting job. Well, I'm going into the transfer portal.
Right.
I'm out of there. I can't put up with this one. And so they're out. And, of course, in Tennessee, had Harrison Bailey has left. He went into the transfer portal when he didn't win. Hooker didn't do that. And Bob, as a coach, you appreciate those guys that they when they don't win the starting job, it makes them even more determined to go out and work harder. And that's what Hooker did. He just went out to Heupel and said, "What do I need to do to get on the field?" And Heupel told him, and he worked on it. And when he got his chance, he's taken advantage of it. So this team respects that about him. They like his poise. They like his confidence. They like his decision making, and he takes care of the football. And, you know, as I mentioned, only two interceptions. One of those was at the end of the Pittsburgh game in kind of a desperation mode. And the other one was against Alabama, where we don't know exactly for sure what happened. Either the receiver went the wrong way or Hooker didn't read the coverage right. But, you know, those are just mistakes. But they weren't just those mistakes that make you scratch your head. What's he thinking? I mean, they were just bad throws. But he's done a really good job just running the offense. Has a good feel for it. Runs enough to keep you scared. And is really accurate when he throws the football. So he has really blended in very nicely with his Tennessee team. Quiet kid, you know, not a big boastful kid, not a guy that's out there trying to get attention to him. He just wants to win, and he's done a lot of that so far since he moved into the starting lineup.
Bob, we got to run. We're at the top of the hour. Thanks very much for taking some time. It's always a pleasure. I'm sorry Mike wasn't here to talk with you, but he's taking care of some medical business. But hopefully he'll be on the mend. And I'm sure he passes on his best wishes because he always enjoys talking to you.
Absolutely. Tell Mike I said hello. Bob, have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Thanks so much. Bob Kessling with us, the voice of the Tennessee Volunteers as they get ready to take on the Cats in a very important game for both teams. No question about what's on the line for both these teams. Okay. All right. Well, we got some Breeders' Cup stuff to do with you on the other side, so we'll do that. Glad you're with us here on this version of Fast Break Friday as we come to you presented by our friends at Ale 8, and we thank very much to them for their sponsorship of the show. And we appreciate wherever you're listening to us, Lexington or on the interweb, wherever you're joining us here. We're glad. We miss Mike today, but we're glad you're with us on Fast Break Friday. Stay with us.
Nothing. Diddly squat. Zilch. Nil.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.